But it is good to have you guys here. And so Amy and I, before we had all three boys, one of the things that we like to do is we like to travel different places and see different things. And one time we went, took a trip to a Caribbean island to spend a little bit of time on vacation on the beach. And it was a little island called Antigua. And one of the things I was fascinated by is, you know, these Caribbean islands, they really founded by different countries, and so they have their unique personalities, a lot of European kind of flair to them. But Antigua is very interesting, and they had these signs posted at different places, and it was always uniquely kind of European. And so one time I remember taking a tour of an old stone fort, and we're walking through, and you know, the walls are narrow, and I guess everybody's really short then, so the ceilings are low. But every once in a while, as you're walking through these tunnels, you'd see a sign, and it looked like this. Now, this isn't the actual picture, but I did have one. I just couldn't find mine, but it looked like this. And it said, "Mind your head." And I thought, at first I was looking at it going, that's just weird, mind your head. I didn't know exactly what that meant at the time, and I started thinking about it, and then I started cluing in a little bit, you know, watch your head. I guess it would be the same thing. But all over it said, mind your head. Well, this morning I'm thinking of that, and I want to just share with you the importance of minding your head. We've been talking about fighting the good fight of the faith, and we've been talking about how we are in this battle every day of spiritual forces, things that we cannot see, and we've been walking through the last several weeks the armor of God, this defensive armor that we have through Jesus that's a part of our life that helps us be defended against the schemes and the tactics of the devil. Well, today we're moving into a very important part, which is the helmet of salvation. And so we ask the question, are you minding your head? So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be back in Ephesians chapter 6, reading again the passage that we've been walking through for the last several weeks. And we're going to walk through again, starting in verse 13. So Ephesians chapter 6. 13 through 17 is where we're going to end up today as we talk about this next piece of the armor. And I'll be quite honest with you, I'm very captivated by this piece of armor because I believe it's so essential, as all of them are, but almost the first line of defense for us as believers. And again, Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 13. So if you're able, whether you're here or online, if you would stand as we read God's word this morning. So this is what God's word says. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And then verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that's in your word. Our prayer is that you would move and work in this place, also online, wherever anybody is today that is watching this service, that you would work and move. Holy Spirit, transform us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. So we've been talking through the pieces of the armor of God, and I just want to reiterate as we talk about these pieces of the armor that we're really talking about Jesus. I mean, that really is what it comes down to. It comes back to this relationship that we have with Jesus. So we have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We have the shoes of the gospel of peace. We have the shield of faith. By the way, last week I really left out a piece about the shield of faith in the second service. I was talking about what it's covered with, leather sometimes, metal over it, those kind of things. But I forgot to tell you it's made of wood. Somebody goes, well, if it's leather, I mean, that's not going to protect a lot if it's just leather. But it is a pretty sturdy piece of equipment, just to throw that out there. But now we're kind of moving into another piece that I believe is essential, and it's the helmet of salvation. As we talk about this helmet of salvation, right off the bat, you guys know how important a helmet is, right? I mean, that's, you think about it, when we ride our bicycle, well, when we were younger, we didn't have to wear helmets. But now, you ride a bicycle, you do anything, you almost have to have this helmet on to protect your brain, to protect your head. So for a military man, for a Roman soldier, the helmet was important. They wouldn't go into battle without the helmet being either, again, leather that's been made to form and fit the head, covered with metal that would protect it even more, or just made out of metal, that it was very sturdy and strong, pieces of it coming down to cover most of the face. And so when a soldier would wear this this helmet, they would be secure and they would be safe. For those wielding these big swords, trying, because let's face it, a great place to attack someone is at their head. If you can swing it and hit their head, they can do a lot of damage. And so the helmet of salvation kind of is a picture of this important piece of armor. Now we ask the question, why is Paul using this reference? Why is he using the idea of the helmet of salvation? Well, here's what I believe. I believe if you look in Scripture, we find some powerful, really powerful scriptures about the importance of your mind. And if Satan can get a hold of your mind, if he can twist a little bit in your mind, if he can fill your head with lies that can twist your mind just a little bit, maybe, just maybe, he can lead you off this path that God has for you. Matter of fact, if you look what Paul has written in Romans chapter 12, what does he talk about? He says, conform no longer to the patterns of this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, the mind is important. We think through this. And now what's so interesting is that people forget how important it is to protect our mind. We talk about protecting our heart. We talk about the you know, sharing the gospel. We talk about, but people very rarely talk about the importance of protecting our mind. And if you don't believe me, think about all the people that are sitting in front of our TVs today that really do little to shield themselves from all the stuff that's coming through our TVs, through our radios, through our internet, whatever's coming through there. We very rarely shield our minds from the junk that is out there. And can I just tell you now, especially, and it's been going on forever, but Satan is having a field day putting out all kinds of false truth and false doctrine to twist and to change and to hurt people through their minds. Listen, we can be easily swayed by the things of this world, and we have to be careful. So we ask the question, are you minding your head? Now, Paul, when he talks about the helmet of salvation, right off the bat, we think of our eternal salvation. We think of that initial time that we give our life to Jesus. And that is, I believe, what he's talking about. That's important. And that's kind of what we're going off of a lot this morning. But I think it's bigger than this as he talks. Matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, he talks about the helmet. But then he says, helmet of the hope of salvation in a future tense. Well, here he just says helmet of salvation, and he's talking about this armor that we're to wear daily, not just at the beginning of our relationship and not just at the end when we see Jesus face to face. Listen, he's talking about this armor every day of our life. So he's talking about our salvation. Listen, when he talks of helmet of salvation, he's talking about the past when Jesus rescued us from our sin. He's talking about the present when he rescues us from our sin. And he's talking about the future when he rescues us from our sin. Listen, this is our salvation that is a part of our lives every single day as we do battle. So Paul is thinking of the big picture. And so he's saying, put on the helmet of salvation because it protects you every day at all times, not just at the beginning and not just for the end. It protects you at all times every single day. So let's talk just a little bit, and we're going to talk through just two points this morning of Satan's attacks on our minds and how important it is to hold on to our salvation, allow our salvation to be that first line of defense as we deal with the attacks of Satan. Because you're going to notice as we talk through these 2 points, it's really 2 areas that Satan attacks us daily, and it can encompass everything that he's throwing out at us. So the first thing as we think about these attacks is this. Satan wants to destroy your sense of eternal security. Satan wants to destroy your sense of eternal security. So this word that we would throw out at the very beginning that Satan loves to implement and to throw out there is this word called doubt. If he can make you doubt your salvation, then he can start playing with your mind. If he can make you doubt that Jesus truly did die for your sins, if he can make you doubt that you truly did surrender your life to Jesus, that it was real, if he can make you doubt that he has rescued you, if he can make you doubt that you are eternally secure, listen, he can do all kinds of things in your life. Now, we see this a lot. We see this with believers sometimes on TV, or articles we've read many times about these Christians that were very outspoken believers, maybe authors, singers, whoever they were, but all of a sudden, after all these years, they've come back and said, you know what, I'm turning my back on the Lord. I was really never saved, that kind of thing. And they walk away from the Lord. Listen, I think a lot of that, and it could be, I don't know their hearts, but a lot of that is Satan throwing all kinds of stuff into their mind, and doubt creeps in, and they turn away from the Lord. And so it is as important today than ever before to have on the helmet of salvation, to know without a doubt that you have been rescued and redeemed by Jesus Christ, and to live out that daily. Now here's a great passage that talks about the tactics when we talk about doubt. About how Satan attacks this eternal security that we have and how he does that. So you can turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and let's look at those first 4 verses of Genesis chapter 3, and I think we can get a great indication of what Satan does and how he works, and I think it's important to hold on to these. And we can get about 3 ways out of this that Satan attacks and really attacks our mind, and it's important to put on that helmet. So here we go, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say? Now underline that, circle that if you haven't already. Just remember that one. Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And here you go. Let's underline this one in verse 4. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. So when we talk about how Satan attacks our eternal security, there are 3 ways that I want to pull out of this passage that I believe he attacks that. One is this, is he attacks God's word. And this really brings doubt. So that's what he's doing. He's bringing doubt. He attacks God's word. Again, he said this, did God actually say? Well, how many times have we turned on the TV or we've read an article and someone is disputing or refuting biblical truth, and by saying that, did God really mean that? Is that really what he was saying? I don't think that's really what God meant when he said that. Listen, it's not about what we think he means, it's about what God means. And so when God's word says it, you can bank on it, and you can hold on to it as truth. But Satan wants you to think and attack his word by saying, did he really say that? Now listen, that can allow doubt to creep into our life. But he also goes on as he talks about what God said or what he didn't say and all these things. He said, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. He just says, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. Listen, Satan is not just attacking God's word, but now he's starting to put doubt in Eve's mind of God's goodness. In essence, what he's saying is this. He's leading Eve to believe that God doesn't want her to have the best, that there is more out there than what they are able to get, and God's withholding goodness from them. Listen, if Satan can fill your mind with the thought that God does not want you to have good things, listen, doubt can creep in. Now, I'm by no means saying I'm a name it, claim it preacher, okay? I'm not saying that you want a bigger house, you pray God's going to give you a bigger house. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that we have a good God, and you can't separate goodness from our God. And Scripture tells us that all good things come from God. So I want you to know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, as Scripture tells us. So you are valuable in God's eyes. So you better believe God wants you to have good things in your life. He wants His goodness to be a part of your life. And so if you ever hear anyone say that there's something better out there for you, or God is withholding something from you, listen, God is good, and hold on to that truth. If Satan can make you think that God is withholding something from you, then you can begin to doubt that God is good. And so then that doubt begins to creep in. Then he goes on, listen, in the verse 4, he says, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" So how does Satan bring in some more doubt that leads to this insecurity of our salvation and assurance? It all ties in together. Is he attacks God's authority. He attacks God's authority. Boy, if I could tell you one thing in our world today, is people have tried to take away the authority of God. And they try to take it away from God, and they try to put it on themselves. And so what we have is Satan filling Adam and Eve's head that God is not as authoritative as he may seem. Listen, if you begin allowing Satan to give you a little bit of that doubt, then he's doing a pretty good job. And that eternal security that we were holding on to so tight now becomes a little loose. And Satan has a foot, and he's able to work in your mind. I think about Thomas, doubting Thomas, as he's referred to. And I love chapter 20, verse 27. He said this to Thomas. Jesus says, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it on my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Listen, a little bit of doubt can pull you away from what God has for you. Listen, Satan would love nothing more than to fill your mind with a little bit of doubt. So here, listen to this. When you are sure of your salvation, you will not be moved by Satan's deceptions. Be sure of what Jesus has done for you. Be sure of your salvation 100%, so that when Satan comes in and he begins to try to fill your mind with doubt, when he begins to question authority, when he begins to question and fill your head with doubt of God's promises and God's word, you can look at your life and without any question, you can recognize the truth that you are saved. And when you are saved and sure of your salvation, you will not be moved by Satan's deception. Here's what Scripture says in 1 John. It says this, chapter 5, verse 13. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Listen, you may be asking yourself today, do I know 100%, am I 100% sure that I am saved? How do I know if I'm saved 100% sure? Listen, if you look at Romans 10:13, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you cried out to God at some point in your life? You said, "Jesus, come into my life, forgive me, rescue me," and turned your life and you followed after him. Listen, we can look in God's word and we can find the evidence of salvation in our life. 1 John, as it talks about what's written, listen, he talks all through that. Some things that we need to hold on to. That have we asked Jesus into our life? Have we believed on him and called out to him? Listen, do we love each other? Do we obey his commands? That's what 1 John talks about. Listen, if you see these things in your life, then you can be 100% sure that you have made that decision because it's real in your life. Matter of fact, you can go back to Scripture, John 10, 28. "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." If you take God's word, and you have followed God's word, and you have cried out to Jesus, and you have called out to him, he is faithful and just to rescue you. And if you are, if you repented and you followed after him and you're obeying his commandments, if you are loving one another, if there is fruit that is coming from your life, listen, you can be rest assured no matter what the circumstances may be, no matter what Satan is trying to fill your mind with, you can have confidence to know that you have Jesus and you are saved. So if you are sure of your salvation, listen, you will not be moved by Satan's tactics. Listen, he is wanting to move you away from what God has for you, but hold on to the security of your salvation. But listen, he also does this. So number two is this. Satan works to dismantle your sense of daily stability. So not only doubt does he want to fill your mind with, but listen, there's another word that goes with that, and it's discouragement. So how does Satan work in your life to pull you away from the salvation that you have in your life, to kind of make you and trick you and pull you away from the stability that you have every single day? It's through discouragement. I heard it said one time that Satan has many tools, but that discouragement is the handle that fits them all. If he can discourage you, then he can knock you off your game as you follow after the Lord. If he can discourage you, he can create doubt into your life. If he can discourage you, he can keep you from following after the Lord. We look in Scripture, and what we find is this. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So what does that mean? It means that Satan has a specific way of really really discouraging you, of pulling you away from what God is trying to do in your life. And really, I want to just kind of narrow this down into three ways. As we talk about discouragement, what are the three ways that Satan can discourage you the most? Problems, pain, and people. Listen, I'm pretty sure if we did a show of hands, I could say each one of those individually, and I'm pretty sure that each one of us could raise our hand that we've been discouraged by each one of them. Problems, pain, and people. We all have problems. Listen, we all, nowhere in Scripture does it talk about us having a free ride, that it was going to be simple. Matter of fact, it's opposite. It's hard to be a Christian and to follow after Jesus, so we're going to have problems in our life. Whether they're personal problems, whether they're financial problems, whatever it may be, we're going to have those problems. The question is, how do you handle that? Do you approach those problems standing on the rock of Jesus Christ, or do you approach that problem wavering back and forth whether you have Jesus or not? So when you have the helmet of salvation, you stand strong knowing no matter what problems may come, I have Jesus. Then you also have pain, and can I just say that now more than ever, we see pain all over the place. And at the funeral yesterday, what I was thinking through the whole time is, you know, in this pain that we experience in the death of a loved one, that's some intense pain. That is deep, sorrowful pain that we experience. And it's not just for funerals, and it's not just for the loss of loved ones. It's for heartbreak, and it's for all kinds of things that may happen in our families. Listen, we experience pain. And in the midst of that, it can either knock us off of our path and take us away from the Lord, or we can stand strong on the rock of Jesus, knowing that he has rescued us and the perspective is all about him. But discouragement can easily creep in as we begin to question what's happening and what God is doing. And then people, to me, the discouragement that comes from people is the worst of them all. As we as believers fight each other so many times, and churches against churches and Christians against Christians, and so the world doesn't have to do a whole lot. It just sits back and watches us. And that should be a reminder of how much influence that we have on each other as we have the choice of either encouraging or discouraging someone, or building someone up or tearing someone down. And listen, think about the responsibility that you and I have for every word that we speak that cuts someone. What we're doing is we're allowing an avenue of discouragement in their life where Satan can do a work. And so I think as believers, we need to be careful to look at all those things and recognize that Satan uses all those things to bring in discouragement in our life. So here I just want to share this. When you are sure of your salvation, you can have peace during times of distress. when you are sure of your salvation, when you are wearing the helmet of salvation, and that you are grounded upon the truth of God's word, and you're holding tight and standing strong on the rock of Jesus Christ, knowing that he has rescued you, he has redeemed you, and that he will take you home to glory someday. If you stand strong on the salvation that you have, that he has rescued you, and that has not changed, listen, in your life, discouragement will be replaced with peace. The problems that you experience and the pain that may come and the people that may hurt you, what happens in your life, God replaces with peace and joy rather than us wallowing in discouragement. We look in Scripture and as God's Word and we see all through God's Word, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 as Paul talks about this assurance and having Jesus in your life no matter the circumstances. And here's what he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Listen, when we are secure in our relationship, when we're secure in the salvation of Jesus Christ, then when Satan throws all kinds of things at us, the discouragement that tries to be built up by Satan turns into peace and joy, knowing that Jesus is present. So what does that mean for us? And so as we think about this helmet of salvation and how important the mind is, I just want to encourage you with this. Ask yourself the question, as we think about minding your head, what occupies your thoughts? On a daily basis, what occupies the majority of your thoughts? And I just want to encourage you today, whether you're experiencing discouragement, whether you're experiencing some doubt, I just want to ask the question, what are you thinking about today? That really makes the difference. What are you thinking about today? Because if you're allowing the world to fill your mind, listen, it's going to be hard to not be discouraged. But if you're filling your mind with Jesus, then everything's different. And so when we talk about minding our head, when we talk about what do we think about and shifting what we think about onto who Jesus is, then what happens is we have a new perspective of how we live our life. Listen, when we understand this power of salvation that we have in our life, and we're standing on the rock of Jesus, it means that we have something greater to think about. And you may think, Craig, that's kind of new agey or something. You know, there's thinking and thinking and thinking. Listen, Scripture is pretty clear when we start talking about what it means to be thinking on the right things. Listen, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Listen, you know what that is? That's Jesus. If you're battling discouragement today, think about Jesus. If you're battling doubt today, think upon Jesus. As you turn on the TV, think upon Jesus. As you walk out of your house, think upon Jesus. As you're sitting at your cubicle at work, think about Jesus. As you're sitting in your car, surrounded by traffic, think about Jesus. When you begin to think about Jesus, things change. So I want to encourage you today, as Paul talks about the helmet of salvation, he's letting us know, listen, your first line of defense is what Jesus has done for you. And it's not just a one-time event. It didn't just happen and you don't have to think of it. Listen, this salvation that we have in him, he's rescued you. And if he rescued you when you were 8 years old or 12 years old or 30 years old, whenever it was that you gave your life to Christ, if he rescued you and redeemed you, listen, he's rescuing you today and he's rescuing you tomorrow. He has redeemed you and you are new in him. Listen, hold on to his salvation. Hold on to Jesus. And so listen, we are always in this battle. And if there is one area that Satan wants to hit the most, it could be your mind. And so I want to encourage you with this, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then how does he say to do that? Very next, fix your eyes on Jesus. I don't know about you, but my prayer is that with every waking moment that I have, I want my thoughts and my eyes to be on Jesus. And maybe, not a maybe, we will win this battle for our mind. Will you bow your heads? God, thank you. Thank you for loving us and being so gracious to us. Even when we fail, even when we make mistakes, you are faithful. And God, we thank you for that. Our prayer right now is that you would move in our midst, in this place, at home, wherever we're at, that you would move mightily. Holy Spirit, work in us and in our hearts. And Father, today, if there is someone that is doubting, that Satan has kind of creeped in and allowed these doubts to start coming about their salvation, I pray that today, that they would hold on in full assurance of the day that Jesus rescued them. Or maybe, just maybe, they never made that decision. Today, they can make it secure just by coming before you and saying, Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart, rescue me, give me life. Surrendering your life to Jesus, turning your life and following after him. Listen, scripture is clear. Believe and call upon the name of Jesus and you will be saved. So today, make that secure. Make your salvation secure. Give your life to Jesus. Maybe today we've been believers. Maybe you've been a believer for many years. Maybe you just haven't been living your life for him. Maybe today is the day that you say, Jesus, I'm giving my life back to you. Move and work in me as you please. So once again, Father, thank you. We love you. I pray for those today that are making decisions, that you would continue to work in their hearts. Holy Spirit, change us, transform us, draw us closer to you in every way. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.